Total Tuscany Podcast, number 34. Ciao, and welcome to another edition of the Total Tuscany Podcast. A reminder before we get started, if you like the Total Tuscany Podcast, you can always subscribe to it on iTunes or on Stitcher. We are regular updaters of the social media channels, like our Facebook page at Total Tuscany, and also follow us on Twitter at Total Tuscany. I'm Travis Justice, joined by the co-publisher of TotalTuscany.com, Mr. Pat Campagna. What's going on, Pat?
Travis, how are you today?
Couldn't be better as we're getting closer and closer to our trip to Florence. I think T-minus 2 weeks from the date of recording.
Can't wait. Hey, now, have you started packing?
Hell no. Hell no. But I'm a very simple packer. The last time I went 2 years ago, I did it with just a backpack. I'm going to try to, and that was on a 2 week trip. I think we're only going for a week this time. I think I can get it all done in a simple North Face backpack. I think I'll get it done.
The infamous backpack.
That's right. But as we get ready for this trip and we get a little bit older, we start asking ourselves, what happens if something goes wrong? Mm-hmm. What happens if we need medical assistance? What happens if we are in an accident? What if we have to go to the hospital? What are the steps to take? In our previous trips, did you ever think of something like that?
You know, the first trip, it didn't cross my mind. Now, I think you're right. We're getting a little older. You know what? We talked about rental insurance for the cars, but never really us.
And we've taken out travel insurance and trip insurance that covers minor medical expenses, some lost luggage, and if you can't make the trip. But the power of social media has a way of spreading stories and getting to know people. And through Facebook, I got to meet Bob Cullinan, who is a former television personality in the United States. He went on to do some photography and work with some bicycle races and really fell in love with Italy about in the year 2000. And as you're going to find out in this podcast, he's visited Italy quite often with no major incidents until he went to Rome in January.
It's an amazing story.
It really is an amazing story. It reminds you that accidents can happen at any time. And if they do happen, the best way to deal with it is to be prepared. Here's Bob Cullinan on this week's Total Tuscany Podcast. Bob, I first want to ask, when did you start becoming interested in Italy and traveling to Italy?
Well, let me think. It was probably, I think my first trip to Italy was in December of the year 2000. I was facing a shoulder surgery, and I knew I'd be laid up for a while, and I wanted to take a trip that would be something memorable, that while I laid in bed and recovered from the surgery, I could think back on something pretty cool, and I had friends that had always gone to Italy, and so I decided that I was going to go to Milan and to the Cinque Terre, and I went there for a week, didn't speak the language, didn't know the country at all, and just had a blast. And I mean, as you guys know, once you go, you're hooked. And I was hooked way back then.
How many times have you gone since then?
Well, 50, maybe.
Are you serious?
No, seriously. Yeah.
50.
In the year 2011, I spent 83 days there.
Now you've made me really jealous.
Yeah. Well, you know, anybody can do it, but let's put it this way. It's easier when you're single. You know, if you have wife and kids and responsibilities, it's hard to spend that much time there. But you don't need to spend 83 days there to get a good understanding and a good feeling and to kind of ignite that passion.
So did you get the Italy bug, Bob, or were you traveling during this phase of your life all over Europe?
Well, I was traveling a lot everywhere, and I'm not terribly proud of this, but I have a million actual sitting in the seat miles on United Airlines. So I've been to a lot of places and done a lot of things, but there was something about Italy and the Italian people and the lifestyle that kind of grabbed me. So really for the last 10 years, I would say that 90% of my trips have been to Italy. And once you find a place that you really enjoy and appreciate, you keep going back and back and back.
You know, we obviously have fallen in love with Tuscany, and that is where we keep going back and back and back. I'm going back for my fourth time here in a couple of weeks. Pat's going back for his third time. Was there a certain area that you fell in love with that you kept gravitating towards?
Yeah, I like the northern part of the country. And I first went to a bike race called the Giro di Lombardia in 2006. It was kind of a last-minute assignment for a Cycling News website, and they needed somebody to cover a race over there. So I literally made a decision on Thursday to cover a race that was on the following Sunday. And once I got to Lombardia, and specifically into Como, I love Como. I thought it was great. And it was one of those places that captivated me. And I've gone back and back to Como. I sublet an apartment over there now too. So, you know, Como is kind of a second home for me now.
You travel as much as you do and you go on enough trips, something is bound to happen. On your most latest trip to Italy, explain what happened to you. Because I think this is interesting because, you know, I think we've traveled quite a bit in the last 5 years to Italy. And I'm sure there are people who worry, what happens if I'm in a foreign country and I get hurt? First of all, tell the story what happened and then we'll get into to what you do.
Well, I wanted to find a new way to kind of get around in some of the cities. And while the transit systems are good in a lot of places, they're not great and you can't get everywhere. You can do a lot of walking. I mean, you'll walk 10 miles a day and that kind of wears you out. I guess it was a year ago when I was in Rome, I rented a Vespa for a couple of days. And I tell you, it is both one of the most thrilling things I'd ever done and one of the most frightening things I'd ever done. But once you kind of get over the first 15 minutes of thinking, my God, I'm going to die, then you have a blast. And I got to the point that I kind of could get around Rome and I knew the map without looking at it. And you get in the flow of traffic on the Vespa and, you know, it all kind of works out. So I'd done that 3 times in Rome. I did it once up in around Lake Como and kind of felt fairly proficient on the Vespa. So this last trip, which was last month in January, in fact, I'd rented a Vespa for 2 days in Rome. And the first day was great. I mean, I went everywhere. Went to the Vatican, went to the Colosseum. Oh, God, where else? To the Pantheon, to Piazza Navona, and you know, went to the little Panino place that I always go to and the little coffee place. And I had a great time. But then the second day, I was going down a cobbled road near Circus Maximus, and I stopped to take a picture. There was actually a vintage Fiat Cinquecento parked along the road, and it was a perfect Cinquecento, probably, you know, late 1950s model, and absolutely perfect. So I stopped to take a picture, got off the Vespa, and shot the photo. I got back on the Vespa, and, you know, helmet on the whole bit, and I'm watching for traffic on this cobblestone road, and I turned it on, and I gave it a little gas, and the throttle stuck wide open instantly. And I'm hanging on for dear life, screaming down this cobblestone road in Rome and coming up on a busy intersection and totally out of control. The brakes can't overcome the inertia of the motor. So I'm going faster and faster and faster. And finally, at about 35 miles an hour, I hit the rear wheel of a parked car and stopped instantly. And I was hurt pretty bad. It was ugly.
What were the extent of your injuries?
Well, you guys have seen it. When you're on a Vespa, you kind of sit up like you're in a chair. It's not like you're over on a bicycle or a motorcycle.
Yeah, you're exposed.
You're totally exposed. Yeah, and when I hit the parked car, my chest went into the handlebars and tore all the cartilage and ligaments and connective tissue in my rib cage on both sides. And you don't think of a Vespa as being a real heavy vehicle, but it weighs 250 pounds, even a small one. And it fell over on my right leg and pretty much crushed it.
So you're laying on a cobblestone street in Rome.
Right.
You are realizing, A, you're alive. That's a good thing.
Yes.
But then
I didn't really bang my head, which was good, too.
But then you realize you probably can't walk.
Well, the first thought is, my God, here comes a bunch of cars. And I'm laying in the middle of the road. And you guys have seen it. With all due respect, Italian drivers are crazy.
Yes.
They'll run over you. They don't care.
Very so fast. So were you in shock at this point?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I'm still in shock, to be honest. But the first car that stopped, and this is where, you know, I'm a firm believer that everything happens for a reason. The first car that stopped was an off-duty Rome policeman, and he didn't speak a word of English, but I speak enough Italian that we could understand each other, and he took care of me. He got me a bottle of water out of his car, had me sit down, kind of gave me the basic concussion evaluation, and then said to me, oh, no, ambulanza ospedale. You have to go in the ambulance to the hospital. And I'm like, oh, no, no, no. I'll be okay. You know, I'm a tough guy. I can do this. And he said, no, ambulanza. And he called on his phone. He called the ambulance. And I said, you know, wait. Quanto costa ambulanza? Quanto costa ospedale? How much does the ambulance cost? How much is the hospital? And he looks at me with this kind of goofy look, and he says, costa? Niente. Nothing. Nothing. And at that point, I'm like, okay. So the ambulance showed up. They took one look at me, and they said, oh, yeah, get in the back. So I got in the back. As much as I was in pain, I have to admit, going with full lights and siren at full blast through the streets of Rome is a hell of an experience.
That was an experience all by itself.
Oh, my God. It was amazing. But the key to that moment, and I'll get into this a little bit more, the key to that moment was being able to speak a little bit of the language to explain to that policeman where I hurt, what I did, and for him to explain to me what I had to do from that point.
Absolutely amazing. What happens then? You're in the ambulance. You're going full bore to the hospital. What happens when you get to the hospital? Because if you're in the United States, they'd probably go through your wallet and say, where's your insurance card? What's the process once you get to the hospital?
What they want to see is basically some kind of ID. So I carry my passport with me when I travel at all times, which I think is a good idea for anybody. You know, put it in your front pocket where it's not going to get stolen, but keep your passport with you because you never know when somebody's going to check it. And especially now that security in Italy is a lot tighter because of various terrorist threats, there's a lot of passport checking going on. And don't think of it as intrusive. Think of it as it's being done for your own safety. So in the hospital, I basically gave them my passport, and they knew instantly, obviously, that I'm an American and not an Italian. The entire process in the ER, I was there for 6 hours, and I saw four different physicians, probably another half dozen nurses and orderlies. They shot 8 x-rays of me, and of all of the people that I dealt with directly in there, only one spoke English.
That's amazing.
So that's kind of my, you know, my number one tip for people who go on a trip. You know, and it's not that you anticipate getting in trouble, but there's always that chance. You could walk across the street and get hit by a bus. You can be in New York or Chicago or Dallas, Texas, and that could happen. But if it happens to you there, you can explain to people what happened, and you can, you know, you can ask for help. If you get in trouble somewhere, whether it's Italy or Algeria or Indonesia, and you don't speak the language, you're in even bigger trouble then. I highly suggest everyone who goes over, especially in Italy, learn a bit of the language, be able to communicate even basic stuff, your left, your right, your leg, your arm, you know, what you did, who you are, what's your age. That's the first thing they ask me is my age, because they want to do an evaluation and some kind of medical history. If you can't tell them that, they have no medical record on you. They have no way of knowing what's going on with you if you don't tell them. And then they need to tell you what to do. And if you don't understand, the process stops.
It just stops?
Well, because there's no way to acknowledge, right? If they say to you, what hurts? And you point at your ankle and they go, okay, is it the inside or the outside? You don't know what they just said.
So if our listeners have allergies to any particular type of medicine or any particular health, they should have a way to express those to the medical personnel.
Well, yes. And that along that line, there's something called a road ID. R-O-A-D-I-D. It's roadid.com. And this is something that is made for athletes. It's a little bracelet you wear, kind of like a medical alert bracelet. I wear it 24/7 when I'm out of the house, whether I'm in the U.S. or I'm in Italy or any country. You get 6 lines of text on the roadid, and you can put anything you want on there. So I've got my name, my address, my penicillin allergy. I've got 2 contact numbers, one family and one friend, and my Blue Shield number. And so I can point to them, and penicillin is penicillin in most languages. So I can say to them, you know, I'm allergic to penicillin. If I get penicillin, I die. I mean, it's flat out, I'm gone. Having that road ID, regardless of where I am, can help with that communication process.
So with the injuries you've described, Bob, you were admitted after they triaged you in the ER, you were admitted to the hospital.
No, they sent me home.
they sent you home.
Yeah, they sent me home.
Now, I remember seeing pictures of you basically in traction or a nice brace in your apartment. Was that hard to get around, or how did you maneuver that?
Yeah, again, Travis, I think certain things in life happen for a reason. I'd rented a really terrifically cool apartment in the Trastevere suburb of Rome. through Airbnb. And I'm a huge fan of Airbnb. I think their service is great, and I highly recommend Airbnb. So I was in this Airbnb place. I'd been there a couple of days, and the crash happened on a Saturday, and I was supposed to leave on Monday. But there's no way I was able to travel. I couldn't even lay down in bed. There's no way I could travel. So I emailed the landlord of the Airbnb place, and I said, hey, is it possible for me to stay another couple of days? And he and I had emailed each other before, so I knew that he spoke English. And he said, yeah, sure, you can stay a few more days. He said, what's going on? And I said, you know, I was injured in a crash. And he said, are you hurt badly? And I said, well, yeah. And he said, okay, I'll be there in 10 minutes. Well, it turns out he's an orthopedic surgeon. I mean, what are the chances of all the guys who own Airbnb apartments in Rome? I get the one guy who's an orthopedic surgeon. He comes over, gives me a full evaluation, twists my knees and my ankles, and says, oh, you've had anterior cruciate surgery, haven't you? And you've got a bone spur on your right ankle. I said, yep, yep. So he went through all of my medical history with me. And he said, the good news is you didn't break any bones. You just tore a lot of cartilage in your upper body. Your leg will heal, but you've got to be in a brace. You can't bend your knee for the next week. And I said, well, what am I going to do? And he said, I'll go to the office and get something. I said, but it's Sunday. He said, don't worry about it. He went to his office on a Sunday, and he got me it's one of those Velcro braces with the metal rods in it that kind of goes over your pants. You've probably seen people limping around after football games and a similar thing. He got that from his office and said, here. And I said, what do I pay? He says, no, you don't pay me. It's free. Medical service is free in this country. And so he put me in a brace that I wore for the next week. But it was just, it's kind of divine providence that of all the places that I would potentially stay in Italy, the one I get is an orthopedic surgeon.
That's bizarre. Figure
that out.
An off-duty officer and a surgeon.
Right. And the one doctor in the Ospedale Santo Spirito who speaks English. Some things were on my side that day. Many things weren't, but some things were.
What goes through your head now in this apartment laid up for a week?
Honestly, it didn't really bother me. I just kind of got bored. What the prevailing thought, as I kind of look back on it, is, damn it, I'm in Rome, Italy, and I can't do anything. I can look out the window at this great view, but I can't get out there. I can't walk. I can't go take a taxi. I certainly can't get back on a Vespa. I'm stuck here, but I'm in Italy, and I'm looking at four walls. I mean, it's a great little apartment, but it's still just an apartment. I want to get out and do stuff. That's kind of what went through my head the most. That and how am I going to get food, which was, that was an adventure in itself.
So you are in the apartment, and then you finally get back home. The big question is, did you ever pay a penny for anything that happened to you?
Nope. Well, I shouldn't say that. I got a prescription from the doc for this cracked me up too. He wrote me a script in Italian, and he told me to take it to the pharmacy to get it filled. And I'm like, yeah, okay, that's fair. So I took it to the pharmacy, and you know, for like a month's worth of pills, it was like 15 euros. That's all I paid. And I thought, boy, this must be some kind of big, heavy duty drug he's given me. And it had an Italian name on the back, so I Googled it when I got back. It was Tylenol.
That's it.
Tylenol is not sold over the counter there. You've got to get a prescription for
it. That's good to know.
It is good to know. But 15 euros was my total cost on all of this. Now, for comparison, I was hit by a car on my bicycle in 2007, and I wasn't hurt nearly as bad as I was in this Vespa crash in Rome. And I was in the ER for 2 hours here near my home, and the total cost of that for the 2 hours, including the ambulance trip and the hospital and the x-rays and everything, was $25,000.
Wow.
And in Rome, it was zero. Now, there's a bad side to that, too. And this, the landlord doctor explained it to me. He said that, you know, the system in Italy, the government is basically bankrupt, and the country is in large financial trouble. He said, but thousands of people come in and out of the country every year, especially in the big tourist cities like, you know, Rome and Florence and Venice and Milan and all of those places. And he said, if those people get hurt, their experience is the same as yours. They go to the hospital, they get treated for free, nobody pays anything, and all the costs are absorbed. He said, there are tens of thousands of people that are treated all the time, and the government just pays for it. He said, that's a real burden on the government. They may be trying to find a way around that, but boy, it's a huge bureaucracy to try and make that work. If it's free for some, it's kind of got to be free for all. I gladly would have paid, but there's no mechanism for me to pay. Mm-hmm.
Bob, the lawyer in me is wondering if you were charged for the Vespa.
Oh, 1,400 euros on the spot.
Okay, so there was a cost. And did they offer you insurance when you rented the Vespa?
No. There's where you're kind of taking your life in your hands. And it goes back to what I said, that we kind of go through life in our little bubble of security and think, nothing bad's going to happen. But when it does, you realize both the physical and the economic cost of an accident. You know, they basically would not let me go until I paid for the damage.
Now, Pat and I and our wives are renting Vespas when we're in Florence the first week of March.
You're not. Yeah,
We are actually going to take a Vespa tour through the hills of Chianti. So we're not going to be in Florence. We're just going to be on the hills. But I do want to get it across because I'm sure it's crossed a lot of people's minds. Give us your tips then if something happens. So you said make sure to have your passport with you. Have a little bit of Italian language. I told my son we were doing this podcast. He goes, well, if you're not in a city and you're out in the Chianti Hills and you wreck, do you call 911? I said, I don't know what to call. I have no idea. I guess I could try to call 911. I don't know if that's universal for help, but what are some of the steps people should take if they do find themselves in an accident and need medical care?
A lot of the things we covered, but I think there's some additional ones too. Number one, always carry your passport with you because you need that kind of ID that tells people who you are, where you're from, and in my case, how old you are. They'll treat a 59-year-old guy differently than they'll treat a 19-year-old guy, for instance. Number one is have that passport. Number two, know some of the language. Know enough that you can communicate the basics to someone. Know how to say hospital and know how to say ambulance and know how to say I'm an American or know how to tell people your age. Know left from right. Know your head from your foot. You know, basic physical things that if you're helping someone, what would you want to know from them? Be able to communicate that in the local language, whether you're in Italy or you're in France or anywhere else. The other thing to understand, and this is kind of a general statement, and I kind of felt this the first time I went to Italy, I expected Italy to be like America with a funny accent. It's just not. It's a different world in a good way. And the thing that I found in this experience really taught me this is that people by and large want to help you. Here in America, I think, you know, we're kind of in the internet selfie age of me, look at me, and people aren't as anxious to help somebody. You'll see it in big towns that somebody will fall down in the street or get in trouble. People just walk by. Over there, if you're in trouble, somebody's going to help you. It's the nature of their culture to be helpful like that. And accept that help. Don't think that it's a scam. I often thought that. I got in like little trouble here and there, and people would try to help, and I thought, no, this guy's trying to shake me down. No, they're just being helpful. Accept that help and also accept that you're not going to pay for it. You know, whether it's somebody taking you into their house because, you know, you crash your Vespa outside their driveway outside of San Gimignano and they take you in and give you a meal, they don't expect you to pay for that. And by the way, they'll be offended if you don't eat the meal. Take what people have to give. And don't be offended if they kind of hover over you and want to take care of you. That's the nature of the Italian people. But also know that you're kind of on your own, right? And as much as people want to help, you've got to be able to communicate to them. And you've got to have your wits about you. And you can't assume that you know how to do it. I mean, that's kind of oversimplified thing. But I thought, gee, I've rented a Vespa many times. I can handle any situation. No, I hadn't in my own mind gone over what would happen if the throttle sticks. Now, looking back on it, I think there are a couple things I could have done, but it was a new experience. I know now that I could have killed the engine or I could have done this and that. But at the time, you know, this is all a traumatic thing. So keep the passport, learn a little language, accept the help, but be self-reliant too. That's critically important.
Travis was asking a great question. Do you know, Bob, whether is there a 911 in Italy?
There is not a 911, but there is another number that I don't know, and I admit that I probably should know it. And maybe that's kind of something you should go on the list too, is take a phone, right? Whether it's your American phone and I had to call United Airlines when I was over there. It was $3 a minute, and I was on the phone for a half hour with United Airlines. So it was an expensive call, but I had to do it. The other thing that I do, and it didn't work this time for various reasons that are all my fault. Years ago, I got an Italian SIM card. So when I would take my BlackBerry over, I'd just swap the SIM card in and out. And I have an Italian phone number, 366-893-2300. That's my number in Italy. And if you've got a local SIM card, you can make calls for essentially for free. I think they charge me like 2.5 euros per week for phone and data access, which is nothing. But I got a new phone, and the phone is locked. It's a new iPhone, and Apple wouldn't unlock it until 90 days were up. My 90 days were up, so I couldn't put my SIM card in. So I've got to use my regular iPhone over there, which is on my Sprint network, and I paid through the nose. But getting a local SIM card, if you have an unlocked phone, is a really good idea. And you can do it cheaply. TIM, T-I-M, Tele-Italia Mobile, is the one I use over there. The people are great. And in a lot of the Tele-Italia Mobile stores, they have stores like we have a Sprint store or a Verizon or AT&T. They're everywhere, the Tele-Italia sites. Most of the stores have somebody who speaks English. And the great deal is if you're on kind of a pay-as-you-go plan and you pay your, you know, you say I want 10 euros worth of coverage, if you run out, you know, because they keep the meter on the phone, you can go to any bar, any like tobacco shop, any little bar cafe in a train station, and they can recharge your phone. You just say, I want 5 euros or 10 euros or 20 euros, and they do it for you right there, and it comes back to life. It's a great system that we don't have in America.
Bob, before we let you go, you just had a pretty traumatic trip to Italy, one of your many trips that you've had, but this is really probably the first traumatic one. Do you plan to get over there soon again, or are you going to take it easy for a little while?
Well, I'm not anxious to travel again. The second part of that story is, and I'll spare you the details, but my flight home was supposed to be Frankfurt SFO direct. It was supposed to be 10 and a half hours. It was 22 hours on the airplane.
Ugh.
We had two flight delays. We had to divert to Chicago because the crew was overtime. We needed to get a new crew. I mean, it was ugly. And I think I'm going to limit my travel just because that last experience was really horrendous. I love Italy, and I want to go back. I'll probably go back in May for the Giro d'Italia bike race, because it's going through the Cinque Terre this year, and I'd love to see that, but maybe just for a week. And so I got a dog this week. I'm going to spend a little more time at home. I'm going to raise this shelter dog that I've got and try to teach him some good manners. And yeah, I'll go back to Italy, but I also don't want to foist my dog off onto somebody else until I've got him trained. So yes, I will go back, and I won't let this bad experience color my opinion of the country, but I will let it serve to kind of make me more aware of the consequence of action. For sure.
Bob, it's a fantastic story. Thanks for sharing. This has been tremendously helpful for Travis and I.
And I hope it's tremendously helpful for our listeners, because there's good advice here. And always remember, don't think it can't happen to you, because it can.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Pat, Travis, this is great for me. And I kind of like telling the story, because I'm hoping that, you know, if there's any wisdom to be imparted from my bad experience, if there's a positive in there and somebody avoids a bad situation, then what I went through is all worthwhile.
Thanks, Bob. We appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you.
Well, through the power of Google, we've been able to find the 911 equivalent in Italy. And Pat, what is that?
Well, what I'm reading here, and this is what our Google search shows, is that there's a different number for a different type of emergency. So if you have a, if you need the police department in Italy, the national number is 113.
And that's toll free, they say.
Toll free, anywhere, any phone in Italy.
113.
Now, if you want a medical emergency personnel to respond, you want to dial 118. If you have a fire emergency, you dial 115. So that's three different numbers to remember. What they tell us, though, in my vast Google search, is that the dispatcher may not speak English. So as we've been told, be prepared.
And as Bob said in this podcast, know a little bit of the language, whether you use Rosetta Stone, whether you use the Pimsleur approach. You don't have to be fluent in the language, but if you do enough studying before you go over and know some basic terms and basic phrases and basic words, that should be able to help you out. If you go over there cold turkey, you might find yourself in a situation that you don't know how to communicate. And communication is a very, very important thing. So remember those numbers. Again, 113 for the police.
118 for medical. And 115 for fire.
If you like the Total Tuscany podcast, make sure to subscribe to it on iTunes or Stitcher. And make sure to like our social media channels. We are on Facebook at Total Tuscany and on Twitter at Total Tuscany. Of course, make sure to go to our regular website, TotalTuscany.com. For Pat Capagna, I'm Travis Justice. Remember to live each and every day like you're in Tuscany.